Ideas Network, Larry Mueller here. Wisconsin has a history of involvement in helping to establish the Peace Corps and even leading the nation with their number of volunteers in the past. Hi, great to have you along today as we talk with a couple of guests about the Peace Corps. Isabel Mengesha is a returned Peace Corps volunteer, served in Panama from 2018 to 2020 as a business advising agriculture volunteer in the sustainable agriculture systems sector. Isabella, welcome. Thanks for taking time to be with us today.
Yeah, hi. Thank you for having me.
With us as well, Kate Schachter. Kate is the UW Campus Peace Corps recruiter. She served as a Peace Corps volunteer in Ghana from 2004 to 2007, and as a Peace Corps response volunteer in the Republic of Georgia in 2016. And Kate Schachter, welcome to you.
Thank you very much for having us, Larry.
As you listen to these two experts talk, I hope you'll join in. Maybe you have a Peace Corps experience, or maybe you have some questions about the Peace Corps. You can reach us at 1-800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234, or you can email us. The email address is ideas@wpr.org. Well, Kate, let's turn to you. How did you get involved in the Peace Corps? What got you involved in it?
Well, I'm old enough to know that it was John Kennedy who motivated me to join the Peace Corps in 1961 when he gave his State of the Union address to ask not what your country can do for you, ask what you can do for your country. And even at that young age, I'm not going to say how old I was, but I was very aware. I was motivated to serve and to do that. Of course, life got in the way. I had family. I had a career. I had things going on. And it wasn't until I was over the age of 50 when I went into Ghana.
That's kind of one of the cool things about it. You don't have to be a young whippersnapper like Isabel to get involved in the Peace Corps. Let's talk about Wisconsin for a minute in relation to this. We were one of the first states, were we not, to get involved in the Peace Corps program?
Oh, yes, absolutely. I mean, I don't know exactly where we fall, but we were early on involved in not only applying to the Peace Corps, but also in participating in helping establish certain things. Like there was a training program here for a while, and we had staff, UW staff, who were involved in working with Sergeant Shriver, who was the first Peace Corps director, and getting things rolling. So there were many ways that we were involved.
And Isabel, let's turn to you. You have some recent experience, of course, serving in the Peace Corps. What got you interested in it?
Yeah, that's an excellent question. So in the business school, I had a professor, Tom Eggert, who was really an inspiration because he worked at the intersectionality of sustainability and business, and those were two of my main interests. And after class one day, he gave a presentation about his time in the Peace Corps, just a little educational thing. And that was my sophomore year of college. So I kept that in the back of my mind. And then senior year rolled around and I was going through interviews and being in the business school, it was a lot of corporations that I was interviewing with. But I still kind of remembered Peace Corps and I applied because I just felt a lot more connected to that mission than other jobs that I was applying for. And I happened to be lucky enough to get it, and so I left in 2018 right after graduation.
And that whole application process, what was that, and the interview process, what were those like for you?
Yeah, now this is going on 3 years, but I remember the application process mostly to be about the essay. It was just a very broad question of why would you want to be in the and I kind of drew on my experience of being from a multi, my father's from Ethiopia and he and my mom met doing refugee relief work in the Sudan. So I've always had this background of, a bit of a humanitarian background. I had really good role models. and so that was my essay that I wrote about. And then the interview process, there were two interviews that I went through, and the questions were kind of the same thing, relating to why do you want to do the Peace Corps, and also how I would handle myself in certain situations, what experience I have with people from different cultures, and how I would go about certain situations. And so, those are my application and interviews.
And maybe in terms of training, and probably both could talk about it. Kate, what's the training process that a person goes through? And maybe Isabel can comment on her experience, too.
Sure. Well, the training starts after when everybody is gathered together in what's called a staging process. So the first thing that happens is Peace Corps gets all of the volunteers together in one U.S. city. In my case, it was Philadelphia. In Isabel, where did you have your staging?
I was in Washington, D.C.
Yeah. So it depends on where in the world you're going, but they gather everybody together. You get one or two at the most nights in that city to just get to know each other, get organized, get a little bit of training there, like some language, what to expect, some shots perhaps, some medical information. And then they put us all on a plane, and we fly to the country of service together. And that's where the real, what's called pre-service training really begins, is right there in country. In my case, we spent a little bit of time up in the north or near Accra, the capital city of Ghana. And then we went on up to the center of the country and finished our 10 to 12 weeks of training there. So it was language, our sector, Peace Corps issues, medical, you know, safety and security, all kinds of things that happen in those first 10 to 12 weeks.
So pretty, pretty extensive, but at the same time, I bet that part goes pretty quickly. Isabel.
Yeah, it does. Yeah. Language is always something as well. And
yeah.
I suspect, Isabel, that yours was fairly similar. It's a pretty common model that Peace Corps uses.
Yes. Yep. We were in Panama City for the first 2 months, and the days were split half and half between language in the morning and then specific agriculture, tropical plants, how to use a machete training in the afternoon. And then after those 2 months, we were sent to our individual committee.
Well, there's a caller online. I want to go to that, to Russ, but just remind you, if you have a question, comment, or maybe an experience to share relating to Peace Corps, I hope you'll join in at 1-800-642-1234, or go ahead and email us at ideas@wpr.org, ideas@wpr.org. And Russ, let's go to you in Racine. Thanks for calling.
You're welcome.
And what's on your mind?
Well, as I told your screener, I was a volunteer in the formative years. I went to the University of Maryland, and I was in the university when Kennedy was shot. And I became a Kennedy fan and joined the Peace Corps. I was sent to the University of San Diego for my training in Peru. Was there for 3 months during the summer, 2 weeks in Tijuana, and then sent to Peru, where I was stationed outside of Lima. Here's the interesting part, some 60-plus years in hindsight. I was an English major, and I was put into a community development program, which we had no clue what that meant. We were stationed in a barriada of 1 million people and in essence said, okay, go develop your community.
Yeah.
We had great terms, felt needs, flexibility. I ended up doing some teaching at San Marcos and getting some of the Peruvians to come out to my project.
Sounds like it was very interesting. program for you. I mean, it as well as you remember this, this had to have been a good experience for you.
I would recommend it to anyone. But my question, if there is some follow-up here, is there any place in Wisconsin that holds annual, I don't know, get-togethers? So we can keep up with what's happening with Peace Corps today.
All right. It's a good question, Russ. Thank you. Kate, what about it?
Sure. There are definitely. There are two formal affiliate groups of the National Peace Corps Association. So the NPCA is kind of like an alumni-like organization of Peace Corps volunteers. And some there are groups, there are over 180 groups of people around the country, either focused on communities like Madison and Milwaukee in Wisconsin, or focused on special interest groups. So what I would recommend is that I'm part of the RPCVs of Madison group. That would be rpcvmadison.org. And then there's also a Milwaukee Peace Corps group, and I don't know the website offhand, but you can Google Milwaukee Return Peace Corps Volunteers, and it'll pop right up for you. And there were formal groups within the NPCA umbrella. There are also all kinds of people all over the state, and I keep running into them. Like, there's a group of folks in Platteville. There's a group of folks in Eau Claire. There's a group of folks in Wausau. They're way up in Bayfield and Washburn. There are RPCVs all over the state. I don't always know who they are. they contact us every once in a while and say, how can I get involved or what's going on? And I kind of try to point you. I would suggest that you connect with the RPCVs of Madison and just start looking at join our listserv, join the group if you wish, or you can just lurk and check it out. But you can learn a lot through that.
Russ, thank you very much for calling. Appreciate your call. Again, you can join us at 800-642-1234. Email to ideas at WPR.org. Our guest today, Isabel Mangesha, who is a Return Peace Corps volunteer, and Kate Schachter, who's the UW Campus Peace Corps recruiter. Jane Rotunda, our producer today on air. Natalie Guyette, our producer. Christina Myshock, our engineer. I'm Larry Mueller for the Ideas Network. Taking a look at the Peace Corps right now, it's 60 years old, 60th anniversary, and Isabel Mangesha is a Return Peace Corps volunteer, one of our guests. She served in Panama, and Kate Schachter is the UW Campus Peace Corps recruiter. So questions again, join in, 800-642-1234, email to ideas at WPR.org. Let's go to Mark in De Pere. Mark, thanks for calling.
Hi, I was wondering how the worldwide pandemic of COVID-19 and mandated vaccinations have affected the Peace Corps volunteer program.
Probably good questions. And Isabel, you had some direct experience. I'm sure Katie has some comments as well. Let's go to Isabel.
Sure. The vaccination part of that is something that I can't speak to, but I think Kate might be able to. I can speak to the evacuation part of that. I was still in Panama in March 13th, when we were all evacuated. So I think that might be a separate question. And Larry, maybe we switch to Kate for her to answer the actual question. I'd be happy to chime in on the evacuation part.
Sure. I can't really speak to a lot of the details of how I'm a UW employee. I'm not a Peace Corps employee. So there are certain things that I don't have all of the inside knowledge. However, I do know that health and safety of the volunteers and the staff is the number one priority of Peace Corps. And so right now, there are still no volunteers in the field. As of March 2020, as Isabel mentioned. So there are no volunteers in the field. but they are getting ready and they're monitoring the situation on the ground in each country. Many countries, all of the countries where we left, want their volunteers back. So that is the goal of Peace Corps, is to slowly and methodically make sure that each country is safe and has systems in place, that there are vaccination procedures involved, testing opportunities, and all of that has to be taken care of before Peace Corps will go back into those countries. I don't have all the details of exactly what those requirements are. But there are people on the ground, Americans as well as host country nationals, in many countries still managing those sub-offices and getting ready to accept volunteers into the field. The current word is that there are certain countries, I know of Belize, and I believe the other one was, yes, Guyana, both in South America. So these two countries I've heard by official Peace Corps route, as well as a Guyana newspaper article that I saw on Facebook, an official government article from Guyana, that the volunteers are going back hopefully as early as November of this year. And those are for the response positions, so the 6 to 12 month assignments, and Peace Corps is testing things out carefully. And then they have jobs on the board right now for the 2-year positions that would leave in early 2022 or mid 2022. And that's as close as we know in terms of when people will go back.
Okay.
Does that help?
It does. Thank you very much. And Isabel, do you want to talk about your experience there? How long were you there before the COVID struck, and what did you do?
Yeah. So I arrived in July 2018, so I was there for almost my full amount of service. I was just 4 months short, and I was a business advising agriculture volunteer. I was in a rural community, one of the farthest rural communities, so there was no electricity, no running water, no cell phone service. But I was working with a group of farmers who specialized in coffee. And I was the third volunteer in that community. So there had been 4 years of Peace Corps volunteers before, with two prior. And as the last one, my job was to kind of, you know, make sure that the capacity building process was complete. The first volunteer worked with the same group of coffee farmers to learn coffee techniques. He was a botanist, so he was more on the ground with soil science background. And the second volunteer transitioned the same group of coffee farmers into the business side of it. So he worked a little bit on the efficiency of how to grow coffee, but also started to make connections so that they could sell the coffee. And then I came in with my business background, and I helped this same group of coffee farmers, start looking at, we did marketing techniques, we did, looking for buyers. I wrote a grant with the help of the community for a coffee roaster, because typically they roast coffee over their stoves, which are fire stoves, and that causes a lot of smoke, which is tough to ingest. So we wrote a grant together, and they were awarded the coffee roaster, and it came right after I left, but I've gotten pictures of it, and it looks great. So my work mostly surrounded this business development of these coffee producers.
Well, that's pretty cool to have a success like that while you're out in the field. I know there are a lot of successes over time, but to have something tangible like that. And it sounds like you've maintained some connection there. If they're sending pictures and so forth, talk about those kinds of connections that may be ongoing in some ways.
Sure. Yeah. Well, it was a tough goodbye. It was very brief. Got 2 hours to give a quick hug. So we were able to keep in contact via WhatsApp, which has been really, really nice. Not everybody has a cell phone, but the few people in the community that do have cell phones and are able to go to this school where they can use the Wi-Fi and send me pictures and send me texts, it's really nice. So I keep in contact with my neighbors that were in the community.
Someone might wonder, well, here you are out there someplace where there isn't any electricity. Where do you live while you're there? What kind of conditions exist for people who are volunteers?
Yeah, it's very different. I can't speak to everybody's experience. And even in Panama, the houses of all of the volunteers in my group were vastly different. It ranged from concrete houses. My house personally was made of wood, and it was on stilts because I lived in a very rainy area. So I had a very cozy, stilted wooden house with a palm roof. And I had a gas stove. You know, I had a tank that I hooked up to a little stove, and I'd have to carry in my gas tank. But every volunteer has such a different living experience. So, and every community within even a tiny country like Panama is different. So.
Very cool. And Kate, maybe you can expand on it, or from your own experiences, talk about that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I, as you mentioned earlier, that I did serve in two countries. So in Ghana, I lived in a concrete block type of house with a tin roof, and it had no running water or electricity, although it did have porcelain inside. So I had a sink and a toilet, but no, it wasn't connected to any running water or a sewage system. But it was there for bucket baths and for just basic use. Water was carried from a nearby river or a borehole, basically a type of well. And I had young friends from the community who helped me with that. In Georgia, I lived in a house that reminded me of my grandfather's house in Sauk City, a German-built stone building. And it wasn't in the country, but it felt like it was because there were fruit trees and of all kinds all around, and it was very different. And I lived with a host family in Georgia, whereas in Ghana, I lived on my own.
So there's depending on where you go in the world, it sounds like it's going to be pretty different. Not everybody's going to have a situation like Isabel.
Right.
Or even my Ghana experience, it may not be like that. If you're not comfortable living without electricity or running water, Peace Corps will accommodate you because there are jobs in cities where you can have an apartment or you can have all of those facilities.
Mm-hmm.
Don't let it scare you.
Right, exactly. And also the sector, being in the agriculture sector, I was in a community where it was subsistence farming. It was a lot. It was not in a city. You can't farm in the city as easily. So just due to that nature of my job, it put me in a certain geographic area, which was the situation. So as Kate said, there are physicians in the city too.
Okay. Well, let's take some more calls. You can join in 800-642-1234. Give a call. Adele in Door County, we'll go to you. Hi, thanks for calling.
Good morning. I am delighted to talk about the Peace Corps, which was an experience very integral and positive in the life of my husband and myself. We were in the first group to go to Cameroon, which left in September or August of 1962. So we are coming up on, we are in our 59th anniversary. We're coming up on 60. And I should also add that we were married on the day after John Kennedy's inauguration, which was in January of 61. The day before, as I was preparing to go to the church for the rehearsal, I heard John Kennedy's speech, and it inspired us. And shortly after our marriage, we made an application, and we ultimately went. And it was life-changing. We changed career aspirations. We just had a marvelous experience.
Oh, Adele, thank you so much for calling. Well, Kate, in your experience, I know you're not part of the Peace Corps itself, except as it relates to UW. But do you know of experiences like what Adele has been telling us?
Yeah, it sounds like Adele learned about Peace Corps as she was already engaged and getting married. But a lot of people would get married specifically for the purpose of being able to serve together. And, you know, so there were reasons that they might choose to do that. I don't know them all, but in the early days, you had to be married if you wanted to go as a couple. Today, it is possible to go as a single or as an unmarried but committed couple, or as a same-sex couple. And all of these kinds of things do depend on safety and security in the country. There are some countries that, for example, don't approve in very legal ways of same-sex relationships, but it is possible to do that today in Peace Corps. And if you're not married, you don't have to get married, but you do have to show commitment. There are things you can get from the city, some statements and so on, that procedures to go through and separate interviews when you're going through the application process.
Hmm. We had an email from a listener who said growing up, they always wanted to join the Peace Corps and wanted to join at 18, went to a Peace Corps recruiting event, ultimately denied due to relevant life experience. They told me they needed an application, an applicable college degree or a background growing up in agriculture. It really bummed me out there, and I wasn't able to join. Your initial statement made this listener realize perhaps she could do it again or try again. She hadn't done it, but life does get in the way sometimes.
Yeah.
And now she may be excited to try it again.
I would definitely encourage her to try again when she has more life experience. Still, Peace Corps does prefer a bachelor's, a BA or BS in any subject. Doesn't matter what it is. I mean, it could be dance. You never know what's going to be the thing that really motivates you to be involved with other cultures and other communities. So definitely consider a four-year degree, but it's not required. I did not have a four-year degree when I went to Ghana at the age of over 50. So I got in based on life experience. But, of course, by that time, I did have several types of jobs over the 30 or so years. So I did have a lot of different kinds of life experience. Do it again. Try again.
And Kate, you served both in the Peace Corps and the Peace Corps Response. Mm-hmm. I mean, what's the difference there?
Well, Peace Corps Response is a 6 to 12 month assignment, and it's really intended primarily for either returned volunteers or for people who haven't been to Peace Corps but have a lot of specific skills in certain areas. So you definitely need significant experience or more experience to go to a response position. I still didn't have my four-year degree when I went to Georgia. I'm sorry. I did. Actually, I did. So by in between Ghana and Georgia, I had decided to fast track a four-year degree. But Peace Corps Response is very intense. You go for up to a year. You get 9 days of training instead of 10 to 12 weeks. They expect you to dive into the community and work quickly and get up to speed quickly and help that community with whatever project you have.
So that could be a really good experience. Isabel, is that something, would she, like somebody like Isabel, be maybe in line for position like that?
Isabel would definitely, because she's a returned volunteer and she's had a really successful experience in Panama. She would definitely be eligible, but it's not a requirement. Age is not a requirement.
Well, Elizabeth in Green Bay has something for us. Let's go there. Hi.
Hi, can you hear me?
Yes.
Oh, great. Well, I was a Peace Corps volunteer in the Central African Republic in 1979. When I was growing up, it was not if I joined, it was when. I was really motivated. And then my son was a Peace Corps volunteer in the Republic of Georgia. He went over in April of 2019, and sadly, like all Peace Corps volunteers, in March of 2020, was sent home. But I'm an avid supporter of the Peace Corps, and talk it up to young, old people who say, oh, I should have done that. And I say, well, it's not too late. I'd like to go back in myself. So I just want to encourage people to think about the Peace Corps as an option. And there you go.
Oh, thank you so much. Comment. Isabel, do you agree with that?
Oh, absolutely. And it's it's so wonderful to hear also the, you know, and see just the depth of the network of RPC, you know, and also how it goes through family generations. It's just such an amazing network, and I'm really proud to be a part of the Return to our volunteer community.
You know, we had an email from a listener who would like to know more about finding information for someone older who wants to volunteer, where there is a candid discussion of the challenges that, let's say, an older person might face, probably anybody for that matter, but, you know, just sort of specifying somebody older.
I will, now that school is getting started again, I have an academic year position part-time. I'll be organizing different kinds of presentations. Most of them are on campus, but I do organize community events, either through Zoom or sometimes in person. We'll see how that goes this year. But I do anticipate having something on Peace Corps response. In addition, well, you're looking for a very open, freewheeling kind of conversation, I see. So some people feel that you can get that by going to one of the many different webinars that Peace Corps itself offers. If you go to peacecorps.gov and then locate the events menu tab, you can find different webinars of all types. As far as that more open discussion where people maybe feel less inhibited about asking certain types of questions or giving certain types of answers, I feel that for myself, I'm pretty straight upfront with people about what that means and what the experience is like. There is also a Peace Corps recruiter who is, it's an open position right now, and apparently there is a person hired who will be serving primarily the Milwaukee and actually all of Wisconsin. And that person will be a Peace Corps employee. I'm the only non-Peace Corps recruiter in Wisconsin. There's no one at UWM, for example. But she or he will be covering the entire state. And you can probably look for opportunities through that as well. Contact me if you want, peacecorps@international.wisc.edu, and I'd be happy to, you know, try to find a ways to hook you up.
Run that by me again, Kate, or by us again, Kate, that how people get a hold of you.
Yep. peacecorps@international.wisc.edu.
That's great, and that's a great question as well. I think it's people want to know, what's there that could be a problem for me as I, you know, I'm 60. This person happened to be 60 years old and worried about, you know, a little bit up there in age.
Mm-hmm.
But all that gets taken into account, doesn't it, when someone is making an application? Kate?
If you want to make an application, you can contact me, and I can kind of help. Part of my job is to help people navigate the application system, and I serve really the Madison campus and Madison community area. The other recruiter who's being hired will cover the rest of the state, and I would refer you onward once that person is hired. But do feel free to contact me, or just go to peacecorps.gov and take a look right there. It's pretty straightforward. There's a big red apply button on every single page.
And Wisconsin, the University of Wisconsin, has had a pretty good record in terms of number of Peace Corps volunteers when compared to other institutions, if I'm not mistaken. We're right up there near the top.
Yeah, we're number two all time, right behind Berkeley, and we're on their tail.
Well,
but, we've been number one for the last 4 years in a row from 2016 to 2020. And, of course, we're on pause right now.
Yeah, and so is everybody else. But, yeah. Isabel, would you ever go back in? Or tell me this. How is this going to help you now as you look for another job or get involved in other work?
Sure. It actually, you know, like most RPCVs can say, it really changed my life. Once I got back in March, I took a couple of months to, you know, I was with my parents and I needed some time to, and I started looking for a job, and because of, non-competitive eligibility, which all returned Peace Corps volunteers are eligible for, that helped me secure a job with the USDA. And so I work within the food and nutrition services for the USDA now. And so Peace Corps really altered my career path, because I hadn't really considered working for the federal government, but I was just so enthralled with the idea of how to incorporate food insecurity and how to, you know, take that back to my home country. And so I work for the SNAP program, which is also known as the National Food Stamps Program. It's now the Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program. And so I'm taking a look at those problems of food insecurity here within the U.S. and seeing what we can do about that. So yeah, it really, really altered my career path.
I know a lot of, I actually have quite a few friends or acquaintances that got involved in Peace Corps and wound up coming back with a totally different outlook on what they wanted to do. Well, you know what?
Right.
It's been a real pleasure talking with both of you today. I want to thank you so much for being with us. I hope we have a chance to do this again. Thanks, Isabel. And thank you, Kate.
Thank you, Larry. That was great.
Isabel Mangesha, a retired, is a Peace Corps volunteer. She worked in Panama. Kate Schachter, the UW Campus Peace Corps recruiter. Great to have them with us. Something to consider. If you haven't thought about it, maybe it's time to do some thinking about it. Well, coming up, we're going to take a look at Wisconsin weather and climate. I'm Larry Mueller. You're listening to the Ideas Network.